The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with you. For those of you that don't know me, I am Pastor Heather. I do our youth ministries and our justice ministries here at the church. And I am also the mother of two. We have a precious redheaded little two-year-old who you saw up here. And we recently welcomed Sutton, our four-month-old little boy, who, to no one's surprise, also has red hair. Parenting has been a beautiful and joyous journey for me, but it has also come with its challenges, as many of you parents know. One of those challenges in our household is nap time. And I've always found it strange why kids don't want to nap. I mean, what in the world is so wrong with a nap? Well, we have a toddler who fights her naps hard. She has trouble getting comfortable and calming her body and just being still. And no amount of encouragement or bribes or "I promise you'll feel better when you wake up" will convince her that she should take a nap. And sometimes we actually take longer trying to put her to sleep than she actually sleeps. I often ask myself, why does she not want to rest? Well, this week as I was patting and singing her to sleep in one of our epic nap battles, I found myself reflecting on this sermon and on Sabbath and on rest. And the question quickly popped into my head, why won't she just give in and sleep? And it dawned on me, God must be constantly asking the same question of us. Why do my children not want to rest? Surely we know the value of sleep and rest. We know how important it is for our bodies, for our mind, for our spirit. We force our children and our young people to take a nap, but when it comes to our turn, we find other things to do. Our scripture passage today is from the book of Exodus. The part you heard read is an excerpt from the list of the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses at Mount Sinai. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's the fourth commandment that God gave. And one of the things I love about scripture is that each time you read it, you discover something new. So this week when I was reading that passage, I realized that the Sabbath commandment takes up four verses. Most of the others are just one. So how important must keeping the Sabbath be that it took four verses to explain? God didn't just say rest. God said rest because I rested. Rest because it's not just good, it's holy. Rest because it is a gift, it's a blessing. And make all of those around you rest too. I'd say that most of us take the Ten Commandments pretty seriously, especially those other nine. But when it comes to this one, I feel as though we may have forgotten it or tossed it to the side or disregarded it and said, that's not that important. You might have even laughed at the idea of resting. I know I have from time to time. So what does it mean? What does Sabbath mean? What does keeping the Sabbath holy mean? Jewish tradition states that no work should be done from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. And those who still adhere to this, they even cook in advance and prepare all of their meals so they don't have to do that on the Sabbath. Some don't drive or operate any kind of machinery. They eat together as a community, have quality family time. Sabbath is a time for playing games, for reading, and most of all, rest. They mark the start of the Sabbath by lighting two candles, one to say, "You are made in God's image, and you too shall rest." The second, "You are made in God's image, and you too are free." Freedom and rest, and freedom to rest. But did you hear that image part? We are made in God's image. And that's something that we talk about all the time. We talk about creating like God and loving like God and comforting and protecting and providing like God. But do we talk about resting like God? That we can rest, that we should rest, and that we need to rest. This sermon series is inspired by Barbara Brown Taylor's book, An Altar in the World, which you know. The title for this particular chapter is The Practice of Saying No. Did you know that's something you have to practice? Saying no. In fact, in order to keep the Sabbath, in order to rest, you have to say no to many other things and probably many other people. In seminary, I took a Christian education class, and my professor may or may not be a member of this church, so it was my favorite class, and he was my favorite professor. Anyways, we studied spiritual practices, and were challenged to take up a spiritual practice for the semester. We kept a journal and participated in a discussion group along the way. And guess what I decided to take on? The spiritual practice of saying no. Because frankly, I'm bad at it. At the time, I was a full-time student. I was working almost full-time at a dance studio. And I was busy falling in love with my future husband. So I didn't have a lot of spare time. But I chose to say no, to practice Sabbath, by taking some time, even if it was a small amount of time each week, to be still and to be quiet. But inevitably, each time that I sat down to engage this practice, something would interrupt me. The phone would ring. My roommate would knock on my door. I would have to physically move the laundry out of the way just to find a place to sit. I was constantly thinking about the amount of homework I had to do, and then all of a sudden I realized how hungry I was. What I learned was that life and time constraints and society and even other humans will get in your way of practicing Sabbath. Saying no is counterculture in this country, and it might even outcast you. Years ago, it used to be easier to practice the Sabbath because everything was closed on Sunday. The only thing you could do was go to church and then come home and rest. Now we have to compete with soccer games and dance recitals and putting in overtime at work and yummy restaurants that serve brunch. A rise of consumerism and a do, be, produce culture has a direct correlation with our willingness to cast the Sabbath aside. We are busy, busy, busy. And now we equate busyness with worth and success. It's where we find our value. But I don't want to just blame society and our culture and our busyness for the reason that we don't practice Sabbath. I'm afraid that we've become afraid of rest and afraid of the silence that it brings. When we do take time to stop and pause from our busy schedules, we then have time to notice and to feel and to worry. We might notice that sometimes we feel empty. We might feel pain that we've been avoiding. We might start to worry about bills or aging parents or school or relationships. We might even start to question our worth and our purpose. In Wayne Muller's book, Sabbath, he says, if we are terrified of what rest will bring, we will refuse to look up from our work, refuse to stop moving. In fact, some of us may be so afraid of what we will meet in rest that we intentionally fill all the blanks in our calendar. All of this has created what Barbara Brown Taylor calls Sabbath sickness. We have fallen so out of practice of resting and so in love with doing that now we experience physical symptoms when we do take time to rest. You might have experienced this before. I know I have. Particularly on a day if I choose to sit on the sofa, to catch up on a Netflix series, to let the dishes pile up in the sink and just play outside. By the end of the day, I have a stomach ache. Because instead of being present to the moment and present to that rest, I keep thinking about the laundry that needs to be finished, or my upcoming work commitments, or my ongoing to-do list. And my day of rest ends up not being so restful at all. I love the Cat Stevens song that John sang this morning. It's lighthearted and it's fun and it encourages us to take ownership of our life. We have the ability to choose what we do with our time. And yes, I know this only goes so far because we have work and school and church committee meetings to attend. But we do have the ability to say no sometimes and to rest. It's a commandment, for goodness sake. And I know for many of us, we will never be able to devote an entire day to rest. We will never be able to clear our schedules for a whole 24 hours. And that's okay, because we can still find small ways to practice Sabbath. Maybe you can try what I did in seminary. Take a few moments out of each week to be still and quiet. By the way, that's kind of called centering prayer, and we have a centering prayer guru here named Jan Reed. She's right over there, and I'm sure she'd love to talk to you about her practice. Maybe some of you will just want to turn off your phones, your computer, your TV, just for an hour and rest. Maybe some of you will dedicate an hour each Saturday to take a nap. Of course, if you don't have kids. But whatever you do, commit to doing it. Breathe in deeply. Be present to the moment, and please don't feel bad about the things that aren't getting done. If you haven't purchased this book yet, I really encourage you to do so, even if it's only to read this chapter on the practice of saying no. It is full of famous Barbara Brown Taylor gems of wisdom, too many to quote to you today. But in case you don't get around to it, I want you to at least hear these words. Test the premise that you are worth more than you can produce. That even if you spent one whole day being good for nothing, you would still be precious in God's eyes. And when you get anxious because you are convinced that this is not so, remember that your own conviction is not required. This is a commandment. Your worth has already been established. Another wise person once said, "You are not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for you." That was Jesus, by the way. Or at least that's how Mark remembers it in his gospel. Rest is a gift. The Sabbath is holy. And God wants us to receive that gift and treat it as such. I don't know if I love anything more than my toddler's post-nap hug and snuggles. She's still a little sleepy and groggy when she comes to find me. She only wants to be held and nuzzles in under my chin. I breathe in deeply. I soak up these special moments with my sweet girl, and I'm overcome with love and joy. And I'd like to think that in some small way, it's her way of thanking me for not giving up on her nap, for helping her find a way to sleep, for being with her as she found a rest, for being her comfort and her guide. She rested, and it was worth it. Friends, I give you permission to say no. To say no to all the things that don't bring you joy. To say no to the things that make you tired for just one day or just 1 hour. Don't give up the fight to find rest. Take time to be still and make time to rest. Receive the gift of the Sabbath and celebrate what God has made holy. And if you need help along the way, find someone who will be your comfort and your guide and will sit with you as you find rest, or better yet, will rest with you. Soak up those special moments in love and joy around you. It will be worth it, I promise.